You're listening to Mike Loughran on the Management Perspectives podcast. Please follow me on LinkedIn and Twitter, where I publish all of my podcasts and blogs.
Hi, my name is Mike Loughran, and this is the Management Perspectives podcast. This episode is the last in our 2021 series, bringing us to the end of another extraordinary year. Of course, the COVID-19 pandemic continues to shape the way we work and live our lives. But manufacturing has risen to the challenge, adapting throughout these unusual circumstances and achieving things we hadn't previously considered possible. 2020 forced us all to reconsider our attitudes to work, to business, and to, well, pretty much everything. Where many businesses had been considering digital transformation, but not the courage or the impetus to take the leap, now suddenly they had to embrace it to survive. So as we came into 2021, we looked at how things had changed. When I spoke with Jan Burian and Lorenzo Veronese of market research specialist IDC, we discussed how these businesses that had embraced digital transformation weren't just surviving the storm, but were actually flourishing, taking advantage of everything that their new capabilities could offer. Here's what Lorenzo had to say about the uptake of digitalization and his prediction for the future of this trend.
What also 2020 has shown, and we have showcased it many times, is that companies that already had digital technologies in place, that went through significant efforts to pursue digital transformation in the organization, they had a much, much better performance over time on profits and revenue. Wise, this is really, there's a very strong link between these two elements. We have a benchmark that we track, and this is really evident here. And this has been this divide between the sort of more digital and less digital companies, it's been growing since 2014, 2015, when digital transformation really took place. And in 2020, this has boomed because companies who had digital capabilities in place were much more resilient and more capable to deal with the big impact of the pandemic and all the subsequent economic downturn. So this has really created a bifurcated performance in the market. And this has pushed companies to scale up their efforts, even when they weren't originally that, or at the beginning of the year, that keen of moving ahead with digital. So we see by 2023, probably most of the global organization in manufacturing and elsewhere to like 75% to really being fully digital in 2 years and a half from now, compared from the sort of 30% that we see today. So in a way, we see a tripling of the amount of company that will have a completed digital transformation journey by that time. So that's a really strong uptake. And this, of course, is not just across the factory, but is across all the digital disciplines within an organization. But yeah, the uptake is really, really significant.
So what is it that companies are seeing that is driving this uptake beyond the obvious benefits of agility and resilience? I've spoken with guests from a range of industries, and the same answers come up time and time again, starting with enhanced data collection, which allows for accurate real-time data-driven insights and improved modelling through technologies such as digital twin. Beyond that, this data lake allows businesses to achieve stronger resource management, improved productivity, and ultimately, a better customer experience. On top of that, it encourages a digital culture within the company, improving collaboration and attracting top talent. When I spoke with Fred Griesman of Tetra Pak, one aspect he focused on was the enhanced visibility this digital trend provided, keeping costs under control, helping to achieve sustainability goals, and building trust by allowing businesses and customers alike to track and trace their products throughout the whole supply chain.
Well, for today's consumers, traceability is just as important as the sustainable practice themselves. Customers, I think, are much more likely to trust a claim or a product if it can be definitely traced and proven. So customers are seeking traceability to source, especially for raw ingredients and how a product is made, and digitalization helps here too. The whole chain or processes can become a lot easier to demonstrate with a simple QR code on the package, for example, that can be scanned by a customer to find out more. Here we are focusing not just on optimization of a production process, but we are enabling manufacturers to engage with their consumers, say on the viability of a raw material that comes into the factories. They can see it, check it, track it, and be reassured by it, all through just using their mobile phone. I mean, from my perspective, digitalization can have far-reaching consequences that benefits all aspects of your business, not just in relation to manufacturing products. Throughout the process, we have found great value on working with experienced partners like Rockwell to combine our expertise and ability to further extend the boundaries of what's possible in processing as well as in packaging manufacturing for the whole entire food industry.
Experienced partners, that's what it's all about, isn't it? When we work together, we can achieve things above and beyond what we could do individually. A great example of that synergy that we saw earlier in the year was with the story of Technology Added and Sustainder. The collaboration was featured in a short film produced by the BBC Storyworks Commercial Productions and presented by Digital Europe as part of its Digitally Enlightened series. I spoke with Joris Bishop of Technologies Added back in May and asked him about this disruptive approach to manufacturing. After all, there are lots of young businesses with great ideas, but many of them struggle to take it to the next stage, crossing the chasm and scaling up.
I think it's very important to understand that Technologies Added has been set up in a very flexible way on five pillars. We have a modular assembly line, which we can easily adjust, easily scale. We have a digital backbone based on the Rockwell platform, which is highly supported and therefore also highly scalable. And we are currently using our equipment and our software to provide our services to multiple customers, which have multiple products and many, many variants. So for us, it's very easy to expand within our factory, to add another customer at a different product or a different variant to our offering. And since we have this digital backbone all in the cloud, we can easily hire a new building, let's say across the street, where we can, which we can fill with our CubeCell, our modular assembly line, connected to the internet, and we can produce products there. And if we can do it in a building across the street, it can be a building across the country or even across the ocean. And we haven't expanded across our site yet, since we are still developing our current site and we still have room for growth within our current factory. But everything is set for the future and we're all set to expand worldwide.
So Technologies Added is well placed to provide its factory as a service, and Sustainder can use the flexibility offered there to tailor its street lighting solution to perfectly suit the needs of a smart city. Mass customization, or the batch of one, if you like.
There's a new market, there's a new smart city supplier market coming up, and we are a player which have chosen to do that based on the public lighting network, because we think when we give an upgrade to the public lighting network, we can reuse the existing infrastructure because the poles are there already. We have a new generation of lighting with the modular cassette system. The power supply on location is there. So it's quite sustainable to reuse that existing infrastructure, give it an upgrade, and make the whole infrastructure connected. And then it's quite easy to create a complete smart city infrastructure in that way.
So do you see this as being a smart city infrastructure as a service?
Yes, we see that. In the traditional lighting market, it was normal that you deliver a product, you deliver a product, a luminaire, and you can see that as a one-off deal. You deliver a luminaire to a city and it will be installed and it will be there for the next 20 or 25 years. So then only for the company who's doing the management of those networks, they can do some maintenance. But the quality of LED lighting is very good, so there is no maintenance needed. But when you offer all the smart city infrastructure for those customers, you offer this as a solution. So we're working with another business model. We're working based on recurring fees. And by bringing in new technology, by bringing in the latest actual versions of what technology can offer, we swap the cassettes for customers, and we will facilitate them during their lifetime of their smart city infrastructure, and we can meet all the needs they have in their development of becoming a more and more smart city. So we can offer that as a service, and what we can do that as a single service for a single solution, but it's also possible that we offer multiple solutions in one cassette, and we look. You can also look into this approach as a kind of that we offer a kind of a sensor hotel. In when we manage those cassettes and we offer installation points for all kinds of parties who want to integrate a sensor in our cassettes, that's also a business model, which could be suitable for us for the future, and that all kind of parties ask us to integrate their sensor into this cassette to collect all the data for them from that single smart hub, which is managed by Sustainable.
I'm Mike Loughran, and you're listening to the Management Perspectives podcast. In this episode, I'm looking back over the year and seeing how digital transformation is reshaping the world of manufacturing. Smart cities built on smart manufacturing. Just one example of what's possible through collaboration. In fact, collaboration and partnership has been a big theme throughout the year. When I spoke with my colleagues, Johan Zuelt and David Crumpton of Cisco, we discussed the power of partners and how no single company can provide first-in-class results in every field. But through partnerships, you can. That's why Rockwell is so proud of its partner network program, through which we and the companies that work with us can deliver so much more than we could alone.
So I think what happens is right now with our customers looking to drive digital transformation, also people know it as the Internet of Things, right? As we're going to that journey, the complexity significantly increases. And in my view, there's not a single player that can do it all, bring it all together. So the reason you would partner is either to extend your technology stack or to leverage expertise and delivery capabilities of another partner, or to build integrated solutions for your customer. And that's really, as you're bringing that together, you're creating significant incremental value for your customers. And that's what always needs to be the focus, is what is the value for the customer? Rockwell is known for partnering over more than 100 years and strong partner in partnership in our DNA. And so for us, it's very important to leverage partners.
So thanks, Johannes. So, from my perspective, I'd almost like to kind of recount a bit of an anecdote. So what I didn't mention in my introduction is I've been in Cisco now for 21 years. And I've seen a lot of change throughout that time of joining Cisco. When I first joined, we were sort of the aggressive startup networking company, and then we've we've morphed into lots and lots of other business areas. And I remember there was a critical moment in time around 2007 when we kind of went from being an IT, a networking company to an IT company. I remember when that was also when I first met our then chairman and CEO, John Chambers, during a customer visit. And I asked him, look, John, you know, we're going into, we're becoming an IT company and our customers are asking us to take more risk. Why don't we consider doing more business direct? And the answer he shot back at me really resonated. He said, number one, our whole DNA is based on partnering from the very inception of Cisco back in 1984. Number two, and this is to Johannes's point, Cisco can't provide the whole technology stack, the whole solution to a customer's desired business outcome. And number three, the only way to scale is through our partners. Now, today, Cisco delivers just over $50 billion of global revenue per year. And that's done on an employee base of about 75,000 employees. Now, to be able to do that same level of revenue, if we were to do unilateral direct business, that would require us to multiply our employee base by about four. So, you know, to take us up to around the 300,000 employee mark. And you can imagine what that does to shareholder value. And that's why actually in EMEA, 91% of our bookings actually go through partners. Now, I've been covering partners in EMEA in Cisco since 2008. And what we have learned is that to drive customer value, you really need those partners because partnerships increase our speed to market and it allows us to deliver use case based business outcomes. And as Johanna said, no one company can do the whole thing. And that's why Cisco and Rockwell created an architecture about 10 years ago called CPWE, which really provides this foundational architecture to allow us to meet market demands from connectivity all the way through to security and software, and whether that's on-premise or in the cloud. So by working together, we can achieve a lot more than either company could on its own. And in doing so, we managed to create this sort of virtual one-stop shop for our customers.
A one-stop shop for customers, that's exactly what we're looking to create. One of our newest partnerships is with robotics specialist Kamal. Based in Italy, together we've been working on integrated robotic environments, bringing together Rockwell's expertise in control systems with Kamal's expertise in robotics to create something that neither company could do alone. When I spoke with my colleague Nathan Turner and Gaia Salvadori of Kamal, we discussed what was now possible and what this partnership would bring in the future.
I think Gaia started talking about it. I think the future is, because everything is integrated, everything is connected, we've now expanded our ability to do more analytics. Right. So we can take data from each of the components that we have. Right. And we can bring them together and take the information, contextualize the information, leverage math capabilities that are out there, machine AI, and get insight from that and make decisions. So I can now predict potential failures or predict potential bottlenecks or predict challenges with meeting productivity. And so all of that information is now available, and then we can leverage that information to make changes in our system and improve the overall process. And I think that, to me, is the next generation, is all of that information and data, leveraging it to make better decisions.
Yeah, I add up on that. Like, the way that I see it is that from the user perspective, I see the future becoming much more simpler. So I see that for sure, like the world of robotics and the integrated environment, I think from a user perspective in the next 10 years, we're going to have, you know, easy to use a platform, like the integration will be much more simpler and almost transparent. That is because, as Nathan was saying, there's going to be a lot of work in the terms of improving the flexibility part, or improving and enhancing everything that concerns the integrated robotics. But for sure, I see it from a user perspective. I see robotics becoming more accessible and a little bit more and simpler.
Yeah, that's like the impression I've got. Yeah, that from that integration point of view, the integration has made it easier for people to adopt and utilize robots. Nathan, you're going to say something?
Yeah, you guys made me think of something. You know, you talked about earlier by having this integrated a system where you've got more things unified together into one control system. You said, is that more complex? But I think technology has allowed it not to be as complex, right? We've got virtual reality that we can utilize as a tool to help in learning complex things. I think with technology in the future, it's also going to be easier to manage these unified or integrated systems. It won't be as complex as it may seem at first. I think about how many tasks today in life I have no idea how to do one day. But through various tools, whether it be online videos or in some cases virtual reality, I can now do things I didn't know how to do yesterday, but I can do them today, right? And I think that simplicity that we have in our just regular lives translates into automation and the plant in terms of things are easier than they are. They're not as complex. There's so many tools available to us now to simplify.
Making things simpler. That's what this is really all about. Giving your business the information, the tools, and the flexibility it needs to deliver the best possible service to your customers. Whether it's innovation, efficiency, or sustainability, digital transformation can deliver. And deliver in such a way as to make the whole process simpler and more resilient in the process. Bringing IT and OT together, transforming and unifying systems. Get the people, process, and technology right, and you have a strong foundation for surviving whatever may come and thriving in the competitive marketplace. Thank you for joining me throughout the year. I hope you found our conversations as informative and enlightening as I have. Please join me again in 2022 when I'll be speaking with even more experts from the world of automation, covering such topics as cybersecurity, extended reality, and building a culture that will bring the most out of your digital transformation. Until then, I wish you all the best this holiday season and look forward to seeing you again for the prosperous new year. You've been listening to the Management Perspectives podcast. Please follow me, Mike Loughran, on LinkedIn and Twitter, where I publish all of my podcasts and blogs. If you enjoyed the podcast, please rate and review us, as this really helps the show.